One's a movie buff. One watches movies just enough. Together, fun will be had by all. This is Nadine Cady at the Movies. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Nadine Cady at the Movies. I'm your host, Nathan, a.k.a. Nady, of course. And with me, as always, well, not always, sometimes, is my good friend, Katie. Hi, Katie. How are you?
I am doing so well. Spring has sprung. All the tulips are out, daffodils. And I don't know if it is like this where you live, Nathan, or any of our listeners, but here in Chattanooga, everything is yellow with pollen. That is a part of the beauty of spring, is that I can walk out to my mailbox and begin sneezing. So all the more reason to stay inside and watch some movies when it gets bad.
You know what else is bad? When your AC unit goes out.
Yikes!
Yeah, that happened. Again, it's the second time it's happened, and we're pretty sure it's the exact same thing as it was before. So now we're thinking that we have to get our whole breaker box replaced. So, yeah, which makes it even more convenient to just sit inside in the hotness that is our house right now and watch some classic movies.
Oh, and
that includes the movie we're going to talk about today. It is an 80s classic directed by Rob Reiner, who also directed a bunch of other 80s classics. Like right after this movie, he directed Princess Bride. Right before this movie, he directed This is Spinal Tap. Two great 80s classic movies. And right in the smack dab middle of those is Stand By Me, the movie based on a Stephen King novella, which is basically, he says, based on something that actually happened to him when he was a kid. So it's basically just him reminiscing of his childhood. And before we can talk about it, we got to go over the synopsis. So Stand By Me is about a writer who recounts a childhood journey with his friends to find the body of a missing boy. Stand By Me stars Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, and Jerry O'Connell. So this is actually the second movie. Well, actually, he directed this one first, but then he went on to direct another Stephen King-based movie. Do you know what that movie is, Katie?
No idea.
Misery, which it's a pretty intense one, but I would recommend that actually as well. It's pretty good. So have you ever seen Stand By Me before we review this movie? Have you ever seen it before?
Have I ever heard of it before? No. I'd never even heard this movie. Like, I'd never heard the title. I know who Stephen King is, although I've also never read any of his books. But I had heard of the director, and I'd heard a few of the names of the young actors that are in it, who, by the way, and this is maybe going right into some positives, they're all played by these like young boys are in their like 12 and 13. They're playing 12 and 13 year olds. They're actually that age, which I think really helped. They did not try to pass off, like, I think even Sound of Music, there was like a 21 year old playing 16 year old. So that was one really big highlight. Was I thought that the casting choice was fantastic.
I would agree. The casting is fantastic. The acting is fantastic. All these kids in this movie are already at this time pretty well-known 80s actors. Like River Phoenix has been in other stuff. Corey Feldman, Goonies, other movies like that. You have Will Wheaton, who would later go on Star Trek. I don't know if you knew that. And Jerry O'Connell went on to do other things as well. I mentioned before that in this movie, he's kind of the heavy set, you know, comic relief character. And then when he got older, he like beefed up and now he's like this big buff guy. But the acting in this movie is very, very well done. Has some very good dramatic moments in it.
Going right into my likes, it continues on. I really liked all the actors. I watched a lot of interviews, and even before that, you can just tell that these kids are playing themselves in a lot of ways. I felt like they, what I knew of some of these actors, they really were not having to do a lot of acting. And I think that really helped. Some of the banter, it reminds me of our Ninja Turtle episode where Seth Rogen had like a bunch of teenage boys like hanging out together and recording, and you really felt like you were listening in on a conversation with teenagers. Felt this way, same thing. Like, this felt like all the conversations they're having, you know, they have like an argument about who would win, Superman or Mighty Mouse. Like there's that childhood innocence, but then also the depth and maturity that some of them have had to go through because of their past. I felt it was all portrayed so well by these kids. And again, I don't know if I would say it's acting or just that's more on the director and the casting, like the choices of who to cast, because a lot of interviews I watched with some of these folks, unfortunately, some of these boys have, or guys have passed away tragically, but they admitted that their lives mirrored much of what they were representing in the movie. So like, hey, I had an abusive father, so it wasn't hard for me to play the kid that has an abusive father. So it's kind of sad when you think about it. And unfortunately, a lot of these child actors did not grow up, you know, they've fell off the bandwagon or passed away very early on or lived a kind of rough lifestyles, but definitely made it very, very believable. I felt like there was never a moment that I was taken out of the movie. I felt like I was truly watching real kids experiencing an adventure.
Well, and apparently based on what I looked up, there's a lot of method acting going on in this movie because Kiefer Sutherland, you may know him from a little show called 24. He actually bullied the kids when they were not filming. And so he was actually kind of a method actor when it came to being the bully in this movie. But like you said, the acting, and I said it before, the acting is phenomenal. It's just a great 80s film. It has that 80s film feel. And it's interesting because this movie is literally, like the synopsis says, it's literally them walking to find a dead body. That's what the whole movie is. Right. But for some reason, the acting is compelling. The storylines are compelling. It's just a really well done film. And so, yes, the biggest like with almost every movie I talk about is the acting, the performances, because that's what makes the movie interesting. Also, the storyline is interesting as well.
Yeah, I was saying credits to Stephen King. I feel like it reminds me of that French film we watched. You know, this is one of those that they'd put in the category of coming of age. So although I didn't maybe have my heart strings tug the same, like it's not, I did not identify strongly with any of the characters because of all my time working with kids and youth for, you know, most of my life, I definitely could see these as real people and understand that every child is so dynamic. You know, like I said, they're having a conversation about Mighty Mouse 1 second, and then they're talking, you know, one of them like pulls out a gun. They're talking about, you know, you see the one boy whose father was crazy. You know, there's that true, you know, we talk a lot about psychology now in today's world. Like you've got this disassociation of like, I love my dad, so you can't make fun of my dad, but he's also abusive to me, and that like confusion as a child. There was just very, very, for being like a bunch of kids, like it is a rated R movie, there's some deep I don't know what you call it, there's some deep messaging going on there. And I would imagine that any boy that grew up in the 50s or maybe even people that watched this at that age as a young man would identify with it. Again, personally, I don't know if I could identify. How about you? Did you identify with any of the characters or maybe their banter from growing up?
I mean, not really. I mean, I like Superman.
Well, okay. Another thing it makes me think, this is not a positive or negative, but like, I think about this is what, you know, it was filmed in the 80s portraying the 50s. But like today's kids, I don't know that this movie would quite land. Like, I don't know if this is maybe negative, but like, I don't know that anyone could identify with this truly. Like no parent in 2024 is going to let their children, you know, they kind of snuck off, like they wouldn't be able to sneak off that long. And like all their phones that they had would like have their location trackers on. They're not going to like go around with a gun. There's not going to be bullies like knocking mailboxes off. I mean, they'd get caught pretty quickly, but
I mean, I don't know.
Almost in a way misses that. Like, I don't feel like kids can't be kids in the same way. Like we used to go, even in my time, we used to go vandalize someone's house that was our friend, like TP and like something not too bad. Like even those things now feel like, oh, you can get arrested and it's a crime and everyone's got a Ring bell camera now. So I don't know. I just don't see kids this age or see the kids in this time at that age being able to do these kind of things. Like, I don't know that this would translate well to today.
So what you're saying is that it's easier for kids to get punished for things that they should get punished for nowadays.
I guess, yeah, but I think that's part of growing up, you know, is getting to have little small thrills. You know, like I remember one story where my friend and I snuck out of her parents' house to go like TP our friend's house. Like her mom knew where we were. Like it was one of those where it was kind of like a pre-approved sneaking out, but it just felt like so exciting and exhilarating to get to do that. And I think that that was almost in a way an outlet for us to not make more risky behaviors. I think a lot of us have, you know, that's why you want kids to do karate, because there's this little part of us that like wants to hit something, but we don't have avenues for that. So I just feel like that day and age, kids were able to go adventure and play. And I don't know, I wouldn't put my kids out in the woods and say, hey, go for it for 24 hours.
But do you think parents would be okay with their kids going off and trying to look for a dead body though?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think their parents.
I mean, that's what these kids were doing. They weren't going out and teepeeing.
Speaking
stuff,
of dead bodies, I have another. That's my other maybe negative. So spoiler alert. So they're going and they're trying to find a dead body, and they find the dead body. Like I wasn't sure. You know, I did like that. You couldn't know for sure until the end. Like, are they going to really find the body, or is there going to be some twist at the end? So there's not a twist. Like they go and they find the body, and it's the kid was hit by a train. But I did not expect to see the body. Like. I didn't like that. But
I mean, it's Stephen King. So there's got to be some gruesomeness, you know. And this is probably one of his tamest movies, because there's no, if you've seen a Stephen King movie before, you know they can get pretty dark. And I think majority of his movies, adaptations, he's never really been a fan of. Like they've never really gotten it the way he wants it. And another thing that I found is that he actually went to Rob Reiner and says, this is the best adaptation of his work that he's ever seen.
Yeah,
he got it right. So, I mean, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I did like watching. I remember I had seen it before, but I didn't remember it that much. So it was nice to go in kind of new a little bit. And it was just a good 80s film. And so I would highly recommend it. And I think, do you have any other likes or dislikes before we rate Stand By Me?
Some other highlights. I felt like the maturity that you see, the coming of age, I felt like it was a great, and maybe this is more to the story of Stephen King, but I felt like this was much better than that French film we watched. One that I could see the kids in just an hour and a half change, you know, mature. It was their way of going from fifth grade to sixth grade. And so I really did appreciate that. And then my final, again, just to repeat myself, really did like how dynamic everything was, that they showed these boys wanting to be tough, wanting to like hold a gun and be bullies to each other, but then also admitting like, I'm going to cry. Like my daddy doesn't love me. And I think that was really relatable. So I appreciated it. But what did you think? What did you think of the film? Any other likes or dislikes? Did you like the leech scene?
Well, I think the leech scene is probably one of those classic moments. And I think you had mentioned that that's like one of the scenes that you remembered, when they get into this lake and they come out of it and they're covered in leeches. And then the main characters finds a leech somewhere that you would not want to find a leech if you're a young boy. And yeah, that was fun. I was going to say one of my dislikes was the language, but I think in the context of the movie and that they're boys and, you know, I guess boys say that kind of stuff. I don't remember ever.
Yeah, they're pretty crass.
Dirty words like, when I was a kid.
Not even just the like cussing, like some of the disses, like they're very, very inappropriate. A lot of slurs, but you're right. Like that's kind of what being a middle school boy was. Like if you remember middle school, like kids are learning these words and they're just saying them because they know they're not supposed to.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Stand By Me right there. So let's go ahead and rate this movie 1 to 6 stars. Katie, I'll let you go first. What are you going to give this classic Stephen King adaptation?
For fear of making people who are diehard 80s movies frustrated, it was okay. It just wasn't like my favorite. So I'm going to give it a 4.5, but that's only because the song Stand By Me did actually appear in the movie. And that was important.
Well, I was going to give it slightly lower, but as we were talking about it, it is a classic 80s film. The performances are great. Richard Dreyfuss is the narrator. I mean, come on, you can't get any better than that. So I'm going to give it a 5.5 out of 6. I think it's close to a perfect 80s film. So check out Stand By Me and take a listen to what we're going to be talking about next week.
The closer you are to death, the more alive you feel.
You're James, aren't you?
Yes. Who's that?
It's Niki Lauda. He's just been signed by Ferrari.
This is a nobody.
Look at the way he's driving, like an old man.
Right now, with zero incentive, why would I drive fast?
Because I'm asking you to.
This is an incredible battle between these two great drivers.
Next time, I'll have you.
No chance. You're just a party guy. That's why everybody likes you.
Yes, I know, I'm terrible.
No, you're not terrible.
You're just who you are at this point in your life.
To be a champion, it takes more than just being quick.
You have to really believe it.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
I can beat this guy, trust me.
He's consistent, dependable.
Will he put his life on the line the day that really matters?
Welcome to the racing grudge match of the decade. Get
champion Niki Lauda, trapped in a searing inferno of 800 plus degrees.
Talk to me, James.
Don't go to men who are willing to kill themselves driving in circles looking for normality.
And what did your wife say when she saw your face?
She said, you don't need the face to drive, you just need the right foot.
I feel responsible for what happened.
Watching you win those races while I was fighting for my life, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car.
42 days after his near-fatal accident, Niki Lauda will race here today.
More powerful than the fear of death is the will to win.
We're talking about racing with the movie Rush, starring Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl. He has like a symbol over the U, so I don't know how to say it. But anyway, these guys were both in Marvel movies. Are they going to be great in a movie about racing? We'll talk about that next week. Katie,
I'm excited.
Do you have anything to end this episode of Stand By Me with? So, darling, stand by me.
Thanks for listening to Nady and Katie at the Movies. Feel free to leave us a review so people can find the show. Follow us on all our social media platforms. And if there's a movie that you want us to watch, feel free to contact us at nadyandkatie@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.